Hi, and welcome to the QuitCast for Writers. This is the show that helps you know what to quit, what to keep, and what to question. My name is Becca Syme, and I am a success coach for authors with thousands of hours in coaching some of the most successful people in this industry. My goal in this podcast is to help you understand why you're not having success if you aren't, and how to double down on the success you're already having. Anyone can tell you what worked for them, and they can say it might not work for you, but they can't tell you why. I can tell you why. Welcome to the QuitCast. In our sustainability series today, we are going to be talking about how to create a system that sustainably produces productivity for you over the long haul, like over your entire career or over your life. And what are the things that you need to pay attention to in order to create that system? Let me first talk about how we usually go about creating systems of productivity that manifest for themselves in our process. One of my friends was reading the first Quit book recently and sent me this screenshot of the discussion about how there is no outside issue. There's nothing that is happening in your life that is not potentially related to your productivity, and that productivity itself exists in a multifunctional, multi-layered process. And it is not just a one, like a linear solve problem, right? There isn't just one factor that you can magically solve and your productivity is going to be off the charts. And the reason that is because our lives are so complicated and everything is interrelated to each other in a way that we often don't see. Almost all systems that exist in our lives are actually invisible systems that are intentionally invisible in terms of we want there to be things that exist without us having to spend energy to maintain them. So things like how your family interacts with each other. You set those systems and then they replicate themselves, right? So we have to make less conscious choices about how should I interact with these people and what should I expect from these people. It's part of the return to safety obsession that our brains have. And if you're on our Patreon, you know that I've recently been reading The Good Life, which is the book about the Harvard Happiness Study. And if you have not before either heard of the Harvard Happiness Study, or you have not considered the difference between being wired for survival and being wired for happiness, I highly recommend that you come to the Patreon and check that out, check out our discussion of it, or read the book, The Good Life, about the Harvard Happiness Study. Really fascinating and interesting scientific study about what really creates happiness long-term for people. And essentially, the whole study itself is an exercise in systems thinking because it acknowledges the fact that we aren't always in control of our choices. We don't always know what we want, and we don't always know what will make us happy. And we often are wrong about what we think is going to make us happy. And how this relates to productivity is that the reason we are not aware is that there are subconscious and subliminal systems that are running all the time to keep us surviving that often get hijacked in order to make decisions that relate to happiness that aren't actually relevant to happiness. And again, we'll talk more about that on the Patreon. But the reason I wanted to have this conversation today about how to maintain a sustainable productivity system is that you can't ignore one part of your life. You can't ignore your relationships. You can't ignore your biology. You can't ignore how you assimilate information. You can't ignore your personality. You can't ignore how your platform has been created. You can't ignore your assets. You can't ignore basically anything about you when you're making decisions that relate to your productivity and especially to sustainable productivity. Because if I have expectations of myself that conflict with any one of the systems that are currently at work in my life, including biological systems, which we often want to write off as irrelevant, but if I am not taking into account the impact of those things on my life, I'm never going to have a sustainable productive capacity. So just as a for instance, if you have a menstrual cycle, whether or you used to have one, or you are in the process of not having one anymore, you have hormones and patterns in your body that do things that you don't necessarily know that they're doing. And they're creating symptoms sometimes that you don't always know are happening. You definitely don't choose these things. They don't happen intentionally, but they affect everything about your productivity. So sometimes understanding your own productivity includes thinking about, are my hormones balanced? Am I getting enough nutrition? Am I getting the right kind of nutrition? Does my body feel whole and healthy? Because any system that relies on ignoring some part of our life in order to be able to maintain productivity is not sustainable, because the system itself will eventually need to write, or it will need to have its say. So for instance, I was having a conversation with a client this week, and we were talking about small changes and little things that affect productivity. And we were talking about the difference between a 7,000 word day and a 700 word day. And when we had the conversation at first, she was talking about tracking these different parts of her word count experience. And I was like, well, but you need to track more than just the word count, because it's likely not the story alone or not the word count alone that is having the impact on whether or not you are productive. And we kind of talked through, like, when I've done experiments like this before with clients, what are the kinds of things that we track and why? And here's what I told her. The things that have impacted the difference between a 7,000 word day and a 700 word day, like the difference between those two things, the things that have impacted that difference in our experience in experimentation are, and this is maybe going to blow your mind, I don't know, because some of you who we've done these experiments with are watching, so this won't blow your mind. But did you walk through the pantry before you started writing? Did you eat a food that makes you feel semi-allergic to it before you started writing? Did you open social media before you started writing at any point in the day, whether you write in the morning or not? Did you have a fight with a coworker or a friend or a spouse before you started writing? Did you have someone call you before you started writing? Did you park in the driveway? Did you have your shades open? Like, these things, we want to ignore them because we think that it can't possibly be that. It has to be some big thing. Like, I haven't learned the secret system that's going to fix my productivity. There is no secret system that's going to fix your productivity. And it's so interesting to me that we have this understanding or obsession with productivity that's very similar to the understanding we have of happiness, which, again, in the happiness study, what these researchers have found is it's a longitudinal study that's happened over 84 years, and they've written hundreds of papers on this. And they have tracked people for their entire lives sometimes, and asking them happiness questions and making assumptions about what will make them happy and then what actually makes them happy. Like, when they feel the satisfaction about their life, what really makes them happy? Read The Good Life. It's an amazing book. There's some problems. It has some problematic issues. I will warn everyone about that. But I think it's worth dealing with the problematic issues in order to read the book and get the outcome, because it is so interesting how little we understand what our brain really wants and how that understanding can help realign us in how am I going to maintain sustainable productivity. So the example that they give in the book, which I just think is so fascinating, is that people don't know what will make them happy short term, because their short term happiness is tied to biological systems that are governing chemical production, essentially. So when I say, I think it's going to make me happy to eat this Snickers bar, it makes me happy for a second because it satisfies the craving, which is the biological urge to have, you know, something sweet, because that's where calories are and we think we're starving, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, that's a whole thing, a whole separate conversation. But I think it's going to make me happy to eat the Snickers bar. And it isn't just the advertising that makes me think this. It's my brain knows that that's where the, you know, chemical releasing food is in this Snickers bar. And so my brain is telling me, eat it, it'll make you happy because that's the way the brain gets the chemical that it wants. But it is not the way that happiness is achieved. We need to think more about this because ultimately what's happening in our productivity is we are making decisions that seem like they're going to make us happy in the short term. And actually, they're killing our sustainable productivity. And in the long term, they really are making us short parts of our systems in order to produce something that is not actually going to make us happy. And we are often so unaware of what is really going to make us happy and what is going to make us feel secure. And I don't mean that everyone is the same. I don't mean everybody has the same, you know, metrics for happiness. I don't have a secret sauce that I think everyone should do other than question the premise of their brain chemicals and actually decide whether this is a good fit for them or not to be listening to our brains in this way. But from a productivity standpoint and a sustainable long-term productivity standpoint, we are constantly ignoring the difference between the 700 word day and the 7,000 word day, because it doesn't seem logical to us that it would be as easy as, for instance, I don't know that everyone has to track this, but in our WBF 201 class, this is one of the things we do is we look at what are you doing? How is it making you feel in the moment? And we ask people to actually write down what they're doing and put emojis next to it so that they have to look back on their time and think, oh, I was happier than I thought doing these things, or this I thought would make me happy and it didn't. Right? Like just acknowledging the fact that we are not a great decider when it comes to our own feelings of satisfaction about our productivity. The things that we think are going to be great won't. In terms of productivity itself, because I know that's why a lot of us are here on this video, it could be as easy as, have I eaten food that will sustain my body rather than eating food that I like to eat or want to eat? And I know this is a controversial thing to talk about, especially in January when a lot of us are in diet mentality. I'm not a diet culture person. I am not a person who thinks that we need to manage what we eat, et cetera, et cetera. I'm just talking about whatever else you're doing. Are you thinking about whether or not the food you eat has an impact on your cognition? And if you want better and easier cognition, are you considering that? Again, not from a diet, weight loss, any of that, zero interest in any of that stuff. It is, have you thought about whether or not that impacts you? Have you thought about whether or not you should be drinking water in the morning instead of coffee? Again, love coffee, not here to attack coffee. Have you thought about whether or not you are expecting too much from yourself? You are trying to do too much, and it would be better to pay the consequences of doing less and being more satisfied with what you have and more satisfied with what is happening rather than expecting something of yourself that is primarily a response to a survival mechanism. But sometimes, even just from a purely productive standpoint, sometimes we are not willing to consider how related everything in our life is, how related our emotions and the emotions of others are to how we write, how related the emotional labor that other people do for us is to how we write, how related the emotional labor we do for other people, how related our responsibilities are, how every single thing about us is a factor in how productive we're going to be, how happy we're going to be, and how sustainable our careers are. And when I had this conversation with the client about the difference between the 700 and the 7,000 word days, my first suggestion was track as much as you can so we can see what the differences are. But then we also have to deconstruct those differences because we need to look at what is it actually that's happening when you do this, when you're at this point in the story, when you are, et cetera, et cetera. And the differences between tiny behaviors are astounding. The differences between when things are happening in your external world are astounding. I talked about even just little things like, where are you in the maturity of your platform can be a decider in how much your productivity is affected. Because if you have a lot of expectations put on you, that's going to affect your productivity more. And also you're more likely to need to pay attention to more things than you used to have to pay attention to. So again, what I want us to ask, and this is our homework out of this particular video, The difference between a 700-word day and a 7,000-word day is obviously different for every person. And again, this is just an example. Not every single person is going to be able to have a 7,000-word day. But if you're capable of that, and some days you do that and some days you do 700, the difference between those two is often not a productivity system. It is often not how you are actually executing in the book. It's often everything else in the world around you and in your environment and in your platform and in your personality. Are your strengths areas getting what they need? Do you have enough energy pennies to execute what you want to do? Are you listening to your intuition if you're intuitive, right? All these things compound into this one big individualized system that is what's the best for you. And when we don't consider the fact that our productivity is so individualized, this is literally why we teach Write Better Faster instead of doing some evergreen course on like how to set up your life for success. Because the evergreen courses for me are great when other people do them, because other people's brains are designed for that, right? Like they are designed for, let me give you the step-by-step process for how to execute this thing. That's not how my brain works. My brain is, let's sit down, let's talk about your life. Let's examine every part of your, again, it's why Write Better Faster structured the way that it is. Let's examine every part of what you do. Let's look at how we are going to manage the things that we can manage and not worry about the things that we can't. Let's look at your expectations. Let's look at what is actually going to make you feel satisfied and secure, right? There are so many things that are involved in your ideal, sustainable productivity, and they have to be individualized. So here's your homework. I want you to go to a notebook, and I want you to deconstruct the best and most productive time in your life that you've ever had. And I want you to think about more than just what the outcome of the productivity was. I want you to think about what were your responsibilities, who was expecting what from you, what time of year was it, how old were you, what place in your platform were you, what place in the series were you, what place in your career were you, what was going on in the environment outside of you, who was around you all the time or who wasn't around you all the time. I want you to think about all of these things because as we've all understood about me, I am a theoretical to practical, right? Like we have to understand the philosophy first, the theory first, if we're really going to seat the belief inside of ourselves, because there are beliefs that are seated inside of us that we did not put there, that we need to deconstruct and question and then move forward in a different direction. And so for me, this is part of why I love stuff like, you know, HB 90 or productivity systems classes, things like that. Elena Johnson's book, stuff like that, right? There's going to be another productivity systems book coming out for authors pretty soon. Like I love things like this specifically because it gives us ideas to start questioning what's happening in other parts of our lives, right? It gives us the questions to ask to say, what could I be doing differently for a more sustainable life? What often happens is that we do not ever ask any questions other than, am I executing on the system? And the problem is any system that we put into place is only going to be as effective as the life system that's around it, as the entirety of every single decision that we are subconsciously making. And so we need to question the premise of some of these things when we are trying to execute stuff that isn't working for us. And either is that the right system for me or not? Or are there things I need to change about my external life in order to put that system into place? So the homework again is, I want you to look at the time when you were the most productive and deconstruct it and see what was present. And then compare that to, and you don't have to write this down if you don't want to, compare that to what's happening right now and what you're expecting from yourself and whether or not that's realistic. And for some of us, that is going to be a really hard hit. It's going to be the, I'm getting depressed by this right now. I'm so looking for idealized productivity that I'm not willing to acknowledge I'm just not in that place right now. And I want to encourage us, wherever you are right now, it's changeable. You can change some small things to make tweaks to become more and more productive at all times. It's always possible. If you haven't yet read Dear Writer, You Need to Quit, go and read that book, because that book includes a lot of the major things that we need to quit and we need to keep and question in order to be able to get to that idealized, how do I have more 7,000 word days and fewer 700 word days? Or again, 2,000 versus 200, or 1,000 versus 100, or 500 versus 50, whatever it is that my ideal productivity standard is at. And we're going to be talking more about idealized productivity standards in relationship to sustainability here in the future. And so I hope you'll come back for those videos. But for right now, I want us to take a look at, how sustainable is my process? Is it right now what I'm expecting from myself compared to the idealized version of my productivity from the past? Am I expecting things from myself that I can't replicate? And then once I've done that experiment, I want you to look at the best days that you've had recently, and what do those days have in common in terms of every factor in your life, your environment, your personality, your biology, your family systems, your platform, and where you are in your career. Every part of you has got to align if sustainability and ideal productivity is going to happen. And by ideal productivity, I don't mean being as productive as possible. I mean being as sustainably productive as possible. And I do think those are different. Okay, we'll tune in next time for more thoughts about this. Thank you so much for being here today. I hope everybody has a great day, and I will see you on the next QuitCast. Bye, everybody. Okay. Really quickly, I know I said we were almost done, and I promise we're almost done, but I just wanted to come in and say one last thing about the 700 to 7,000 word days. If you are looking for ways to go to a higher number of words on a regular basis, again, I'm going to encourage you to be looking at what all of your best and most productive days have in common. If you can't track it and you just want to take a guess, that's great. But if the guess doesn't work, consider tracking, because I do think it's important to know that no thing is too small. No habit that I have is too small. It is worth doing the investigation sometimes. And if you need help with it, please do come and find us for coaching. But generally speaking, I think we can do an awful lot of this assessment on our own. So anyway, I just wanted to end with that. I hope everyone has a good week. I'll see you next time. Bye.